We have had the privilege of hearing the testimonies and the work that's being done of people that are really on the front line fighting for lives, sharing the gospel. And we respect and honor that as believers, because we do recognize the value of the work. We recognize that every life is precious, whether still forming in the womb or whether in the prime of life or whether at the end of life. It's precious because of the image of God that was said. And we are horrified by the fact that there are those that don't recognize that value, that are deceived, that are willing to extinguish that life because of they place a higher value on the choice of a person. And we realize that assessing the value in such a situation as this is so important. And I just want to, for just a few short moments, I want to turn to Matthew 13 and look at two parables. We are still in our study through the parables of Christ. And we have two parables here in verses 44 through 46. And it's amazing when as I looked at what these are just the next parables in line that we're looking at. And as I looked at what we were going to be looking at today with the value of life, and I saw what was being taught here, and it goes along well. Follow along as I read. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto the treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Let's pray as we look at this morning. Lord, I thank you that for what we've heard this day, and Lord, I thank you that we as a church can at least consider the possibility of supporting such a ministry. And I thank you that there are those out there that are willing to be on the front line, that are willing to get in the trenches there. And when it's even though it's hard work and it's can be very heavy, Lord, I thank you for their willingness to do that ministry. And Lord, I pray that you would use them in the lives of young people that are confused, that are deceived. And Lord, I pray that you would show them the light through your gospel truth. And Lord, I pray now as we look into this passage and as we look at these parables, Lord, give us understanding of what is being said here. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I first want to look at the historical significance of these two real quick, of what the picture is painting of. First of all, as we see that first parable of the treasure hidden in the field. Very common practice at that time. Now, I think we all have bank accounts. We might have a checking account. We might have a savings account. We might have different accounts that are set aside for different things. You know, as I look at, I'll look at my bank account a couple times a month and see that it goes up when I'm paid by the church. And, you know, I leave that money in there. And I don't usually carry around a whole lot of cash, and that's a nice benefit. We don't have to worry about carrying around that type of cash. But back in Bible times, they didn't have that benefit. They didn't have those type of banks. If they wanted to save money, they had to do something about it. They had to do something like this. They would find either a place in their home or a place or some place where they could dig a hole and put their money in, and they would go around and do that. They would bury their savings, their treasure, so that they could keep it safe. They knew where it was. They had certain landmarks where they would look at, and they'd say, okay, I know it's buried here. Now, there were times, obviously, when people would pass away. People would be, because of wars, be taken out of the area. Whatever it might be, the secret of that treasure would pass away. It would no longer be known. Their treasure would remain hidden until someone came across it. And I'm guessing that there are still probably many treasures out there that have not been found. Just in the last year, you may have read of the story of this couple in Northern California that was on a walk on their property, and all of a sudden, I believe their dog was looking at something, and they found a number of different tins that were filled with 1,400 different gold coins from back in the 1800s, worth upwards of $11 million. And now that's something that we all dream of, you know, just mowing our yard and, oh, there, you know, there's $11 million that someone buried 100 years ago. It doesn't happen very often, but here is a picture of a person that this is kind of what happens, that they happen upon some treasure. They find it. Problem is, he doesn't own the land and he knows what the rule is. If he were to uncover that treasure and say, oh, look, I found treasure, there's the landowner saying, well, that's my land, that's my treasure. So what does this person do? He says, okay, there's treasure there. Covers it back up, goes up to the landowner and says, hey, I'll buy your land. Whatever you want for it. And the person may have put a large amount on it. He says, all right, I got to go out and sell everything I own and borrow money, but I'm going to buy this land. Because he knows what's on that land, and he goes out and does whatever is necessary to buy that land because he knows what's in that land. He knows how valuable that treasure was. And then we find the very next parable very, very similar to what we find. Here is a merchantman. Here is a wholesaler. He goes around and he's buying up precious things. That's what he does for a living. And here he is just on another day, and his eyes fall upon this precious pearl, this one of great price. And he realized this thing is worth so much and I need it. And so he went out once again, as it says, sold all that he had and he bought it. Now I have kind of the same problem that I had last week. Last week we were looking at two different parables and they were both looking at kind of the same thing, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven. Both very similar, teaching basically the same truth. And then at the time I told you that if you had a study Bible in front of you, there might be a good chance that what you find the study Bible saying about that those parables is different than what I was teaching. Now it wasn't because my ideas on it were just so off the wall, it's because these parables are not defined anywhere. They're not explained anywhere else in Scripture. So all you have is the parable. So you have a lot of different ideas. You have a lot of different thoughts of what it is. And once again, we find the same problem here. Here's just two parables and no definition of it. Now, one of the major ideas about these parables, and I'm just let me just go over this just for a moment, is that one of the major ideas of this is that the man that buys the field and the merchant man that buys the pearl represents people, believers. And the treasure and the pearl represent Jesus Christ or the kingdom. And basically and this makes sense to us. What is more precious than Christ? What is more precious than the kingdom? So we look at that and we say, well, obviously that must be what it is. Nothing's more precious than that. What a treasure, and we should be willing to do whatever we can to obtain it. We should be willing to sell everything we own to obtain it. Now that's preaching material right there. But I don't think that that's what these parables are teaching us. I believe that this understanding of the parables falls apart in a couple different areas. And let me just say these and then let you know what I believe these are talking about. And then we'll be done this morning. But one of the reasons I don't follow that idea is that Christ is not lost. He's not hidden. He's not something that we come across and, oh, look at that. No one, not even the most sanctified Christian, has ever given all that he has for Christ. No one. Up until if you were born again at 4 years old and die at 104, in those 104 years, in that last day of your life, you still should be growing. There's still points where you can grow. There's still more that you can sacrifice for Christ. There's still more that can be done. We're never going to be completely sanctified, and there's never a point where we sell all that we have and give up all that we have so to obtain Christ or so to obtain the kingdom. And then the analogy of buying the field so that we can obtain this treasure that is contained within does not make sense when looking at the viewpoint of this being someone obtaining Christ or the kingdom. What are we purchasing that includes Christ in it? This understanding of the parable doesn't match up with the truth of Scripture when it comes to who is searching for who in the place of salvation. I'm saved and I'm redeemed today because I was called according to His purpose. That is why I didn't happen to find Christ and the truth of the gospel and turn my back on everything to obtain Him. I wasn't out searching for Him and find Him and found Him and purchase Him. Sinners don't search for Him. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. I was lost. I was destitute. I was dirty. I was unclean and I was a sinner. I had no hope, but Jesus found me. Jesus redeemed me. Jesus bought me. And there's you know, evidence here that looks at the treasure possibly as Israel or all of God's elect and the pearl being the church. But we're not going to get too much into those details, but Christ's blood was sufficient to pay for the sins of all mankind, just like the man in the first parable, just like his money was enough to purchase the entire field. Christ's payment of blood was sufficient to pay for all of mankind. But the great value in that treasure, just like the great value, is in those that trust in Christ as their Savior. The main point that I want to get across in just these few moments is not about exactly who the treasure and the pearl are picturing. Know this, in one way or another, they are representing those that have trusted in Christ as their Savior. It's easy to think that we could find value in Christ. But the amazing thing is that Christ finds value in us. Not because of us, not because of who we are. Our value is because we were made in the image of God. Our value is that we were saved, we've been redeemed, and that image has somewhat been restored in our life. And when we reach that final kingdom, then the image will be completely restored. Christ found this treasure, Christ found that pearl, and He valued it so great that He was willing to give everything to purchase it. He was willing to leave His Father's side. He was willing to empty Himself. He was willing to take on humanity. He was willing to humble Himself to the point of dying on the cross. He was willing to take our sins on Him. He was willing to suffer greatly. And He was willing to do that for us, that treasure. He paid the ultimate price and we are redeemed. We are purchased because of it. Are you a part of that treasure? Has Christ purchased you? Has Christ redeemed you? You can be a part of what is being talked about here in this verse, and it's absolutely vital that you consider this and think about your eternal destiny. We're not going to get into this parable. We might get into this next time, I'm not quite sure, but in verses 47 through 50, there's another parable, the parable of the dragnet, where the fishermen go out and they cast their net. And you probably know of how they fished back then, where they would cast the net and they would drag it and they would pull up all these fish. And they didn't know what was going in their net. They just gathered whatever went in their net and grabbed all types of fish, but they were only looking for certain ones. They got it back up on the boat, and what does it say? In verse 48, they sat down, or they got it back to shore. In verse 48, they sat down, they gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. And what's the picture there? So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That is a picture of what's going to happen in the last days. There will be a separation. Only those that have trusted in Christ as their Savior will be safe. Those that have rejected Christ's message by not trusting in Him will be removed and cast into the lake of fire where there will be great suffering. You know, we can find great value in a human life. The fact that it is an image bearer, where some might not see it. But Christ has found value in us. He has found value in us, and we are His treasure, and He was willing to pay that ultimate price for us. Let us never forget that truth, that Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice for us, that He was willing to turn His back on everything to purchase us, to go through the worst possible torment for us. We are that treasure. We are that pearl. And we should glorify God because of it. Let's bow in prayer.